What's up, everybody? I'm DJ Confucius Jones, one half of The Breaks. If you're listening to this right now, you're probably wondering why you're only hearing my voice. Me and Fresh decided not to do a live show this weekend, as we normally do. In light of what's going on in the country with the civil unrest and the shooting of Jacob Blake 7 times in his back by police officers, we wanted to take a stand and not have a show. We've spoke about social issues before, and we will continue to do so as well. We felt it was also important to bring back an earlier episode in which we spoke about the murder of George Floyd. So, you know, I ask that everybody take our words to heart, take our words into your mind, into your soul, and let's all strive to do better, especially towards Black people. Because once again and forever, it would always be Black Lives Matter. And we hope that in the future, that is not just something that is said in passing, but something that is a part of our everyday reality. Thank you.
This is The Breaks. As always, I am your gracious and ever so humble host, Fresh.
And I am Confucius Jones.
And I wanted to start this week, I never know how to say it. Episode, this week, this show, but I wanted to start things off with a quote that kind of sums up everything, more or less, of what we're going to discuss today. To be a Negro in this country and to be relatively conscious is to be in a rage almost all the time. That was said by the great James Baldwin, who is one of my personal heroes, and I think that one, it's amazing that his words from decades ago still kind of sum up the Black experience in America today. And I think that quote kind of basically sums up everything that is happening and going on now with the tragic death of George Floyd in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Yeah. So check this out. The other day, HBO Max came out.
Yeah, it did. I saw internet in an uproar about that. Well, in a frenzy, I should say.
Yeah, I was extremely excited about it. Like, you know, I've been keeping up with the streaming services and what's coming and going for the past couple of years. And when I heard HBO Max was coming out and what was coming with it, I was, like, ecstatic. I had dreams about it the night before it came out. Like, I kept updating my phone and I kept trying to see, if that, because the app, it went from HBO Now to HBO Max. So I kept updating my phone to see, and it finally came out. I woke up the next morning, and it came out, and I went on the homepage, and it just so much on there, like movies and, TV shows. Harry Potter series is on there. And I saw The Fresh Prince, which I didn't know The Fresh Prince was going to be on there. Fresh Prince is one of my favorite shows of all time, and also your namesake.
Yeah.
So
had to change it so they wouldn't, so NBC wouldn't sue me.
Yeah, I remember that. So of course, the first thing I did was watch Fresh Prince. I enjoy watching reruns like most people, because it always takes you back to a place that a feeling that you remember. Like, I remember sitting around at my grandmother's house watching Fresh Prince with my mom, my grandmother. Unfortunately, those what we're experiencing right now in America is another rerun of things that have been happening for it's centuries at this point. When I get online and when I turn on the television, I'm seeing things that I've seen so many times before. And what makes it even more sad is that it takes me back to a feeling that that constantly has to repeat itself. I'm Black as hell. Me and you both are.
No doubt about it.
Many, many conversations. And, we were raised to always view the world in the way that it treats us, right? I was never taught, like, if you just do well, everything will be all right. That's not how these things work.
Yeah, that wasn't one of the lessons that was instilled in me. And it's funny you bring that up, because I just had a thought the other day when I was in the bathroom, once again, my favorite place in the house. I told myself that I had to stop telling people that I grew up in an overtly racist home. I used to tell people that all the time, especially when it came to my grandmother. And I had to stop. I had to tell myself to stop saying it because I had to think about it. I didn't grow up in a racist home. I grew up in a black home, and I grew up in a black home that more than likely was not the exact same, but very similar to every other black home in America. And the things that were taught in my home were more than likely taught in everyone else's home. While being black isn't monolithic, there isn't one way to be black, and there isn't one experience of being black in America. There is a shared experience, and as you said, what is going on now is yet an experience that a lot of us are all too familiar with, and it sucks that we have to continue to, as you said, rewatch this over and over again, year after year, decade after decade, century after century, going on 5 centuries now. That's a long time when you think about it. Like, for nearly 500 years, we've been watching the same show over and over and over again. And when you're black, I was talking to our producer Elizabeth about this earlier before we started recording. When you're black, I think it's kind of easy to get desensitized to everything, especially in this day and age with social media, and everybody has a smartphone and everybody's phone has a camera and you can just whip it out and you can record right away. In 92, when we saw Rodney King get beaten, like, that was a new thing. That was like, for sure, this is recorded. This is being caught on tape. There's no way that they can't get off. And then they got off. And then as time progressed and as technology progressed, we just started seeing more and more videos. And we just kept having the same thought with Rodney King, is that there's no way that they can't get off. You can see what's happening. You see how this is going down. You see how this is all played out. And some people got convicted, but a lot of them, and probably the majority of them, got off of it. And it's just like, when are we going to get a new writer? When are we going to get a new writer? When is the season finale going to hit to where we get our justice? When will that happen? And for a lot of us, it just seems like there's no end in sight, and we won't ever get that grand finale that we all are hoping that happens in this very traumatizing series that is the black experience in America.
You know, before I came on the podcast, I was trying to think, like, what can I say? Or what can we say that hasn't already been said before?
I had the same thought process.
At some point in time, it becomes the broken record, right? Of course, you know, we can get on here saying Black Lives Matter, which is, to have to say that is like telling me water's wet, right? We can get on here and say that, you know, there's institutional racism. We can get on here and say that the systematic process, you know, of the police force is backwards and wrong. These are things that, you know, we've said before, either on here or we've said to each other or we just believe or whatever. For me, like, from where I'm sitting and standing and thinking and what I'm seeing from, you know, the protesting to people, you know, burning things down and just the whole revolutionary aspect of it. And I'm with all of it. Like, I'm with all of it. I am tired of people getting online and telling other people what they should not be doing in terms of how they deal with their anger and all this. I'd say burn it all to the ground. I don't care about, you know, oh, this business. I don't care about none of that. I'm seeing a lot of people have being very vocal about what people shouldn't be doing as opposed to what should be changing, right? We live in a country now where unemployment is at the worst it's been since the Great Depression. There's the middle class is damn near gone at this point. And then we're still dealing with racist issues in 2020. I don't care about none of this. Oh, well, I don't want to hear none of that. I don't want to hear none of that. Burn it all to the ground. We just had white protesters run up in every capital damn near in this country, mad because they couldn't go to Hooters to get some wings and some beer. But then they shut down the Capitol the other day because people wanted to protest police brutality. I don't want to hear none of that. I don't care. I heard what happened on 6th Street last night. Sorry to hear it. I don't care. I don't want to hear none of that. I understand, you know, it's a black-owned business. Well, you know, sorry. People are losing their lives out here. You know what I'm saying? It sucks that shirts got stolen. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It sucks. But as far as, like, where my anger goes, And what I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of, you know, us having to have the same conversations. I'm tired of people always trying to find. It's like all this scapegoating. It's all this like distractions going on. And I don't even fully believe that the things that are happening across the country are fully just being done by people who are, you know, actually protesting. I do believe that there's undercover cops out there trying to break in stuff and agitate other people. And it's funny because you don't get that same type of coverage. There's more people mad about looting than about the killing of innocent black people. So that's why I'm just like, every time I see people talk about that, I'm like, yeah, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to tell anybody not to do that. It's been happening. Like, we live on looted land in this country.
Very much true.
So I don't want to hear that.
To that point, I did speak on looting last night, but I spoke on Private Stock, the store that was broken into last night. And I only spoke on it because I felt like I'm with you. My anger is at the point to where, well, let me preface it like this. I understand why people are being angry at certain celebrities or certain public figures who are coming out and speaking the opposite of burn it all down. I get it. We're at a point to where for the last 50, 60 years that all we've heard was pray about it. Well, let's march. Well, let's hold our hands together and let's sing. It's always, and it's something that me and you have always said, is that in times like these, or when something goes wrong, or when black people in this country are accosted, we always have to be the ones to either turn the other cheek, or we always have to be the ones to pull out a chair and tell everybody else to sit down at the table and tell them why we need to be respected. It's the year 2020. Why do we still have to tell y'all why we need to be respected? Why do we still have to tell y'all that, hey, you putting your knee on the back of a man's neck to the point he can't breathe, even when he's screaming for his mother who is no longer here, is wrong. And to get off. Like, why does that still have to be explained 60 years removed from the Montgomery bus boycott, from Civil Rights Act? Why do we still have to prove to y'all that we matter, when we are just as much, if not more, a part of this country than anybody else? Than anybody else. We have been the labor force for the country when it was only 13 colonies. We have fought in revolutionary wars. We fought in the War of 1812. We fought in the Korean War, two world wars, Vietnam, a war we shouldn't even been in, Desert Storm, the war on terrorism. We've been a part of every single war in this country. If that isn't proving to you that we are this country and we are a part of this country and we belong here and we are just as equal, if not more, on a higher echelon than you, then what else needs to happen? Now, fast forward to the looting. I don't have an issue with looting. My thing is, if all of this is about black unity and fighting for us and our people, leave black businesses alone. That's my whole thing. It's just leave those alone. Leave those hardworking black business owners alone. Like, they put that's their livelihood. They've put all they can into those businesses. Don't go into those. And I do agree with you. I wholeheartedly believe there are undercover police officers out there. Once again, speaking with our producer, Elizabeth, before the show, I do believe there are a lot of white individuals out there just to be rageful and just to be out there just to cause, just to stoke the fires even more. I do believe they're out there just to do it. And from what I'm hearing, the incident on 6, it was a lot more white people out there doing it and starting it than it was black individuals. And if for you white people, if that's what y'all are out there for, stay at home, because you're not out there for the same reasons that we are out there for. You are not fighting the same cause and the same struggle that we are out there for, and you're diluting our message, and you're sending and you're making our message lost in the midst of everything, which kind of always happens in history. When we start doing something, or when we want, or when we want change, somebody else always swoops in and seems to change the narrative, i.e. Colin Kaepernick. The whole protest was about what is happening now, yet it got diluted into disrespect about the flag. And that's not what it was about. As I stated, we had fought for that flag in every single way, shape, and form in this country. So you can't tell us that black people don't care about the flag. People are just tired, man. People are just, as Fannie Lou Hamer said, just sick and tired of being sick and tired, man. It's just like everybody reaches their breaking point, and you have a breaking point. And I think,
and for me, like, we have reached. I think too, like, you know, going back even to like the loot and all that, you know, capitalism failed us a long time ago. That's why it's hard for me to, you know, to be like, you know, like I don't, of course, you know, like I watched the press conference in Atlanta with the mayor and T.I. up there talking about Atlanta, Wakanda, and all that stupid mess.
I'm not
mess.
Getting
and,
to that guy. I'm not getting to that statement right now.
And Killer Mike up, and Killer Mike spoke, and, you know, there were a lot of good points made. I just really, this is not a time for black elitists to come down and tell other poor black people what they should and should not be doing. Because once again, like I said, capitalism in this country, I've preached against it for so long. It's failed us time and time again. Like you said, at one point in time, black people were... worth a major source of fueling capitalism in this country. And so I don't know why we all of a sudden have this mentality of, oh, well, maybe capitalism would want to save us. No, it didn't save us back in slavery. we had a whole war behind slavery feeding capitalism. But like, you know, and like you're saying, when it comes to like, you know, how this country views it, how it treats us, it's something that, you know, it's really, really hard to like fully put into words, right? For instance, I'm only in Austin because my great grandmother, who I never met, slapped a white man in Philadelphia and had to run to Austin, the South. Black people in the 20s did not come to the South. They left the South.
This is true.
So, you know, you have this in both of us in our bloods of how we view things, how we react to it. When I joined the Nation, that was really like to me the peak of my like revolutionary spirit. Like, I'm just like, you know what? I need to be around black people who are just super pro-black and all black everything, which the Nation of Islam definitely is.
Definitely, without a doubt.
You know what I'm saying? Not active anymore. But, you know, when you see things like with George Floyd and the fact that obviously, you know, they got charged with third degree murder, it took so long for him to even get arrested, which is insane to me. Now they're arresting journalists, they're arresting protesters. You know, it's like it's not natural, but it's natural, right? For these type of things to constantly happen. Like you mentioned Rodney King, and I remember Dave Chappelle made a joke one time after Rodney King happened. He said white people were like, "Oh my God, they're beating Negroes like hotcakes." So did you know this? It's like, "Yes, we've been telling you that." And, you know, when Will Smith's quote, too, is like, you know, racism didn't just pop up. It's just now being filmed. And you see things like this and, you know, you see it shared all over social media and you see people chiming and having their opinion on it. And to be fair, I see a lot of solidarity. I see a lot of people, you know, a lot of people who need to speak up, like in terms of like our immediate vicinity, Austin, whatever, are speaking. That's a good thing. I see a lot of people not saying anything, which is kind of, you know, not surprising. One thing I'm happy that me and you both understand, too, is it's not always about, like, the brand, too, as well. You know, I think a lot of people are kind of on this thing, like, oh, I don't want to say anything because I don't want to piss anybody off, make anybody mad. It's like, bro, there's right and wrong, right? There's, you know, it's if I'm like Malcolm X said, if you stab me in the back and pull the knife out a little bit, you're not healing the wound. You know, America had even taken the time to even, you know, try to heal the wound.
Or acknowledge that the knife is even there.
Exactly, and we're still living in a time where nobody wants to if I feel like even do that. Yeah. And you know, like I said, the world is right now is on fire. It's everything, you know. We're still dealing with Corona, but racism, boy, racism's always gonna be the one, no matter what's going on in the world. It's always gonna be, especially in this country,
Racism is. Racism, at least in this country, I can't speak for any other country. I saw people pop up on my timeline that said they were like living in Europe and Europe doesn't have these type of issues. And I really wanted to say that's a bold-faced lie, but okay. But as far as America goes, United States goes, racism is still that dark cloud that hovers over us. That, as you said, nobody wants to acknowledge. And then they clearly know it's there, but nobody, people just clearly walk outside and just look up and say, oh, you know, the sky's still blue, it's still sunny, but it's a big dark, it's a big dark rain cloud hovering over us that will never go away until, as Malcolm said, you take the, you at least acknowledge that the knife is in my back that you stabbed me with, and then you take it out and start healing the blow that the knife has made. America, I don't know if they ever will acknowledge that the knife is there, or that this dark cloud looms above us. And I know that that sucks to say, because I know people kind of want, probably are expecting us to come on here and dish out all this hope and say, you know, there's a better day coming. But like I said, man, for the last nearly 500 years, man, we've been waiting on that better day. Like, when is it coming? Like, we've been waiting on that better day. You spoke about the press conference with Atlanta and the things that Killer Mike said. While I agree with Killer Mike, That's not what we want to hear, man. We don't want to hear, let's get out and vote. Yeah, we know we need to vote. We know. It's something that's been iterated all year long, every year, all the time. We know that. But at this point in time, is that working? Like, you sit back and you just think, like, is that working, man? Because we put other people in office that we thought were going to help us, and, you know, that didn't really get us nowhere, and that didn't really get us anywhere either. People thought Kennedy was going to help us in the 60s, and Kennedy didn't want to be the civil rights president. Then he was assassinated, and then LBJ took over, and LBJ just reluctantly picked up on the civil rights movement. He didn't really want to be a part of it, but he also just didn't want to be on the wrong side of history. So it's just like, is that going to help us too? Or like I said, we're just done. I think people are just sick and tired of being sick and tired and fed up of the same things being reiterated about how we should handle this, handle these type of situations, and how we should go about these type of situations, and what needs to be done in these different type of situations. Yeah, man, we can sit, we can hope, we can pray, but man, for the last 500 years, sitting, hoping and praying and singing, We still always seem to end up back in the same position. And I think now people are at the point to where they feel like, if I kick your door into your store, or if I set fire to your cop car, you're going to listen. You're going to listen, and you're going to see this anger, and you're going to see how we really feel. Because this is happening far too much. I saw somebody on Twitter, Big U, out in Killeen, our good friend Big U, he quoted a tweet that was saying, I don't remember it verbatim, and I can't look it up right now, but it basically was asking, like, what was the unarmed black death that made you feel, that really made you feel a way? And he named Tamir Rice and another one I can't remember. And I replied to him and said, the ones that did it for me were ones that you probably don't even know about that happened here in Austin. And for so long, as we always say, Austin touts itself as this great bastion of progressiveness in this country, let alone the state of Texas. But like, this is kind of a yearly thing in Austin. Like, we just had Mike Ramos a couple months back here in Austin. But before Mike Ramos, we had a David Joseph, we had a Byron Carter, we had a Nathan Sanders, we had a Larry Jackson Jr., we had Sophia King, we had many others who suffered the same fate as a George Floyd, as a Trayvon Martin, as a Tamir Rice, as a Breonna Taylor. Like, we've seen this story so many times in Austin, and for the way APD is reacting to it, it's like they still don't get it. And it's like it hasn't sunk into their heads. Like, y'all have been in this position time and time and time and time again. If anybody should get it, you should get it. You should really get it. Because this is not the first time y'all seen people angry. Like, y'all been here. You either just were oblivious to what was going on, or you saw what was going on and just didn't care to make any change or to try to attempt to understand the anger. And I'm more than likely to go with the latter. Like, y'all saw it and y'all just didn't care, man. Y'all just didn't give a damn about what was happening and how we felt about it.
It's interesting too to hear people like say, like, oh, you know, violence is the answer. And I'm never gonna advocate for violence or anything of that nature. But you know, you once you teach your people to react a certain way to things, you can't get mad when they do react to it a certain way, right? Like you said, it's anger at this point. It's anger. It's being fed up, and so you push people to a place, and then when they don't respond in the way you like, all of a sudden it's not good enough. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, what else you teach your kids, you raise your kids a certain way, and then when they react a certain way, you keep, I don't know how, why you're like that. I love my children. My children got very slick mouths. I had a slick mouth when I was a child. You know what I'm saying? And they probably hear me say little slick things to, you know, to anybody around me. So I'm not surprised sometimes they say little slick things back. But that's America right now with the black community. You know, it's looking back, it's looking at us and saying, like, why are you doing these things? And why is it, like, come on, man, like, you lucky this is as bad as it's gotten. It could be way worse.
It could be way, and I had that thought last night watching the protests here in Austin and in the protests out in Houston and in Dallas and in San Antonio and out in D.C. where they apparently broke into the White House. Like, it could be really worse than what it is. People are looting, tearing up stores, but there could be it could be 10 times worse than what it is, because we are just, the collective black community is just literally that, excuse me, is literally that angry. And I don't know if a celebrity coming out and saying something, or I don't know, man. The president not making it any worse, jumping out the window saying when the looting starts, the shooting starts. Like, bruh, you are in the highest position in the land. Like, you have to react better. Granted, I know he's not going to react better.
He was also quoted a segregationist, too.
Yeah, so, like, like, it's just, which is like,
surprising nobody.
The country has to learn from its mistakes. I don't care if y'all go and sit and do an entire history class while this is going on. Y'all start reading books. Y'all look at old video footage. Y'all have to see all the missteps that you have had in the last 60 years. And y'all got to learn from that. Y'all have to learn how to do better. Y'all can't steady try to be Bull Connor. You can't. You can't meet this with the tank rolling down a city street. That's not going to work. That's just going to piss people even more off and cause even more violence. Like you said, I'm not going to sit on here and advocate that anybody go out and do any violence or any harm to anyone. But this country has to learn how we feel and understand where the feelings and the anger and the animosity and the anguish come from. Y'all can't just sit back, like you said, and then act like, oh, well, why are they so mad? I don't get why they were mad. Like, y'all know why. It's at this point, y'all just don't care why.
Especially when all we're asking for is the bare minimum, the humanity. That is all we're asking. We're not asking for, it's not like this huge, long list of, it's just humanity.
Yeah, it's not like we're like, 13 colonies with all these grievances.
Exactly. Like, why is it that fellow humans have to ask for humanity from other humans? And it's, you know, see, weird, like, throughout my life, I've encountered many people who sometimes treat the black experience like a National Geographic special. Like, oh my God, you know, how do you deal with racism on a daily basis? Or what is it like to be black? And, you know, I saw this special about the civil rights movement. It was just so moving. I'm like, yeah, I bet it was. And it's like, it's just, I can't believe these things happened so long ago. I'm like, long ago? No. Turn on the news. Yeah. Like, you want to understand and live the black experience, but then you're surprised when these things happen, or you're still shocked or taken aback when these things happen. Like, it never stopped. Like, the black experience isn't some, like, had been through some metamorphosis to where now to the point where, you know, the things we talk about are more of life lessons. We're telling you things that are actively happening on a daily basis. Like, George Floyd just happened, yes, but before that, like, you named other people that it happened to in Austin. So when I'm sitting here having to explain to people, like, hey, man, you know, being black sometimes can be tiring. I love it. Wouldn't want to be anything else.
It's exhausting.
It's amazing. Man. It's lit. But there are times when it is very, very hard and tiring, and this is what we have to deal with. And it's not something that you can just open up a history book and learn about. Just follow me around for a week, or talk to an older black person. Talk to just anybody. And they'll tell you, and, you know, it sucks. It sucks that we have, you know, like I said, it's not even history at this point. It's just everyday life. And, you know, I it's really, it's like being in prison, right? and somebody, you know, everybody's telling you, keep your head up, man. Do your time. You're like, bro, I'm in here. You're going home after this. I've still got to stay in here.
Or it's like somebody who's on the outside and telling and coming to visit you, just say, man, just keep your head up, man. Just stay strong. Just stay focused. Do your time and come on home. That's easy for you to say when you're on the other side of the plexiglass visiting me. Like, I'm here. I'm in it. And like, I've seen the tweets and I've seen people, you know, try to, you know, text me and, you know, DM me and all of that, trying to say, I understand that it's hard, but, you know, just keep hope alive. I personally don't want to hear keep hope alive, because that's easy for you to say to keep hope alive when you are not a black individual in this country, living in this country. That's easy. That's easy to say. Like, you're on the outside looking in. I am the prisoner inside that has to do the 20 years. Like, it's not as easy as it sounds to just keep hope alive. And once again, we've been keeping hope alive. Like, when is hope going to come alive? When is it going to rise up? When is hope going to show itself? And just, when is that brighter day going to come? We've seen leaders assassinated for fighting for that hope, for letting freedom ring, we've seen them arrested for sitting on buses. We've seen 16-year-olds shot, you know, because they were part of movements and movements that were out to help the black community. We've seen it all. So when does it stop? When will it stop? When is this grand scheme of hope coming in? And that's all we want to know. And that's all we are continuing to fight for. But as I said, as Drury and morbid as it sounds, it just seems like every day it's not coming, because every time you look up, another one of us has fallen tragically. And it's just like when racism is like cancer. It doesn't care if you're a male, if you're a man, if you're a woman, if you're 14, if you're 12, if you're 39, if you're 31, if you're a mother, if you're a father, if you're a brother, if you are someone's grandmother. Like, racism doesn't care. It's coming at you, and when it comes at you, it comes in full force. And I need everybody else that is privileged enough to not have to encounter that, to understand that, like, this is, like you said, the black experience isn't something we just turn off. It's not something we wake up and just cut on like a light switch. Like, I can't take this off. Like, I'm not wearing a mask. Like, this is something that I have to deal with every single day. And it's not always overtly done to you. And I think people just have to understand that. Like, this is real. It's not a figment of our imagination. It's not something that we thought of, that we think is happening to us. It's something that's real, live, and in our face, and that everybody has to deal with if we are going to move forward in a truly progressive way. It has to be dealt with head on, and I think this country is just frankly scared to deal with it head on.
And then we talked about this on a previous show about, you know, how people, you know, come into the culture and they enjoyed the fun parts of it, the clothing, the slang, the music, and, you know, they treat the culture like an amusement park. They visit and have fun, and then they go home, whatever. This is now the time to understand the full aspect of the culture, the part of it where you have to speak up, the part where you have to involve yourself and, you know, stand next to your fellow black brothers and sisters in times like this, you know. Because like you said, we can't turn it off. Like, we live the culture, good and bad parts of it. We're not able to go back in 10 years and be like, you know what, I'm tired of acting black. I'm going to do something else with my life. Like, that's not how any of this works. You know, because we've seen it too. People that, you know, they love the culture. They'll do everything they think they can to act like us. But then, you know, at some point in time, like, you know, I'm going to go back to just being my who I was when I was a child and go back to my other culture. Like,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, it's... Once again, those on the outside that's coming to visit us and talking, speaking through us on the phone through the plexiglass, y'all have to understand, like, you are on the outside looking in, and we, like we said, we can't turn this off. This isn't a knob on a control panel that says black experience that we just switch off. This is like this black skin of ours isn't a mask. We can't just take off this like we're wearing gloves. Like, this is us. And before anything, we are black. When we come into this world, before we get our name, before we get our position, a stature, we are black, and we have to deal with whatever comes, everything that comes with that, head on. Like, yeah, and sometimes we have to deal with it with no preparation. Sometimes our parents don't prepare us for it because they don't necessarily know how to prepare you for it. And like, that's something that I've had to sit down and think about. While I don't have children, I do have younger cousins and nieces that at some point will ask, whether they ask me, whether they ask their mother, whether they ask their grandmothers, whether they ask their father, like, how do you deal with that? How do I deal with this? And you don't always know what to say. Like, I can't imagine you having that conversation. Like, or what, like, you, your sons and your daughter ask you, like, how do you deal with that? Like, how do I deal with this? Or having to talk to your sons about how to deal with a traffic stop, being stopped by the police. Like, a lot of other races don't have to deal with that. And that's something that comes with being black that I don't think a lot of people understand, is that these are our conversations. I didn't get a sex talk like when I was 15. I didn't get that. But my mother sat us down and told us how we should act when we get pulled over, or if we're out at Highland Mall and the police stop us. We would talk how to do that. We would talk to about that. So it's like you said, it's, being black is fun. It's entertaining. It's funny at times. It's lit. It's all of these grand things that you see on TV, but it's exhausting living it, living that, and also having to deal with this side of it, because there is always a other side of the coin, and this is it. The coin has been flipped, and now this is the side that we have to deal with, and everyone that says they up for the culture and they are a part of the culture and want to be the culture and love the culture, now it's time for you to also deal with that other side of the coin.
Yeah, you mentioned too, like, you know, politics and, you know, what Killer Mike said in Atlanta about, you know, getting involved in local politics, state politics, of course, national politics, and, you know, helping vote in the change that you want, which is, I 100% agree with me. You've talked about, you know, people getting involved politically, because all that sitting around complaining is not going to change anything. But I also would like to remind people that Mike Brown happened in Ferguson, which is a Republican state under a Democratic president. And George Floyd happened in Minnesota, which is a Democratic state under a Republican president. Sometimes it's not always about politics. It's the system that needs to be completely changed. No matter who's president, no matter who is your mayor, or no matter who, what state you're in, it's the system. It's not like concentrated in like one corner of these United States and everything else is some grand utopia. Everything needs to change. You know, that's why it keeps happening all over the place. That's a sign of a system. And granted, not one president can change it. Not one mayor can change it. It has to be everybody on the same page at once. And that is where everything happens. It's not just the people. It has to be everybody. Like, but I mean, the people, like, it has to be people and the politicians on the same page. You know, like I said, Killer Mike, he lives in Atlanta. We've had this conversation. Killer Mike has a lot of opinions on what black America should be doing that I agree with. I agree with 90% of what he's saying, but 10% of that also goes, I disagree with, because he's in Atlanta. Not everywhere is Atlanta.
Yeah, he's, you know, in this bastion of black hope that I think was the protests and the riots in Atlanta. I think Atlanta, it humbled Atlanta, and because they had to realize that, yeah, they're propped up on this pedestal, as I said, of this being this bastion of black hope. But y'all aren't infallible either. And the people there aren't infallible. And y'all also, as many black people and as much black prosperity is within the city of Atlanta, y'all deal with the same issues that we deal with. And they not just gonna be, they just don't get swept away just because y'all are Atlanta. And, you know, T.I. did that whole grand, you know, Atlanta was all is this place of refuge for people when, you know, you live in Detroit and the Detroit not treating you right, or you out in Florida and they not treating you right, or L.A. or New York and everybody comes down here and then they prosper. Yes, that is true. But y'all aren't exempt to what else can go on. Y'all are black people are there. It's like I said, the black capital of the United States. So y'all should know that y'all gonna have it hard too. As many black people there, it's gonna hit hard. It's gonna hit hard there, if not harder there. So like I agree with what the brother said. It's just, that's just not what people wanted to hear, man. And that's not that just was, I don't think that was the time, and I don't think that was just, I don't know, man. It's just what, it just wasn't what people wanted to hear or needed to hear. And I applaud for Killer Mike coming up there and saying that he had nothing positive to say because of the way he was feeling. I applaud that. Because I don't think many others would have got up there and said, I don't have nothing positive to say.
Yeah. I don't know. You know. There's a very good chance we'll have this conversation again in the future on this podcast.
I'm sure.
On this platform.
I hate to say that, but I'm sure we will be back on here speaking about this again in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, I hate to be dark and gloomy about it. It sucks because, you know, and even we're going to, I'm pretty sure at some point, social media, wherever, we'll get explained to about, you know, how things should be going and what we should be doing. I saw a guy try to explain to Martin Luther King's son who Martin Luther King was.
Yeah, so. I saw somebody trying to explain to his daughter about who, and I was just like, fam, like you clearly have never read a book or anything, cause, like you don't know who, man. Bernie's King, like, come on, man. Like, and that's what I'm talking about. Like, sometimes it's good just to know when to shut up.
And this is definitely one of those times.
If you don't have anything great or positive or useful to say, then just be quiet, man. Just be quiet, like, cause nobody should be long line.
The one positive note is I'm glad we have a platform to speak on it. And I, you know, shout out to everybody out there protesting, everybody out there making their voice heard. You know, it's the smallest things. I'm not going to be one of those people that's like, oh, you know, you have to be out there to fully under, like, you know, anybody that has a positive voice and is trying their best to, you know, be on the right side of history, I applaud.
I applaud everybody who I've seen on my timeline that was out there filming, taking pictures of what was going on during the protest here in the city. Like you said, I'm not going to sit up here and say, oh, you got to be out there, because I'm not out there. And I would like to be out there. I'm just not able to be out there at this point in time. But I applaud those who are. And I applaud those who continue to make their voices heard in light of things of this caliber and other situations. And that's my thing. One thing I wanted to say is a lot of people don't wait for something this traumatic to happen to let your voice be heard. It's many other situations that you can help black people in instead of waiting for someone to tragically die and then choose to speak up. There are way many other instances, way many other situations that happen within our community that you can make your voice be heard and stand with us. You don't have to wait for someone to be murdered.
Yeah, you don't. Like you basically were saying, it shouldn't take something like this to happen for you to, you know, stand with your people of color or just black people in general, and understand, try to understand our plight and our concerns. And like I said, just the call just for humanity. We've been asking for it for longer than anybody has been alive. And we are getting real sick and tired of still doing that. So that's all I got to say.
I think that wraps up my whole piece on, I don't want to say the events of the weekend, because I see this lasting longer than the weekend.
Yeah, me too.
And as you said, we more than likely, as horrible as it sounds, we'll probably be back on this platform once again speaking about this in some way, shape, or form, man. So, I mean, I hope we don't have to. I would love for us not to have to, but as we said, being black is not something you can just turn off.
Yeah, and like I mentioned earlier in the show, this, you know, I've seen this show many a times before, and this is, once again, this is, if America is a television show and racism is a television show, it's been syndicated for a long time.
A very long time. The number one show in the country.
The Breaks Podcast is a production of KTX 989, the Austin Music Experience. You can listen to The Breaks Show live every Saturday night from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast. This podcast is produced by Confucius Jones, Fresh Knight, and Elizabeth McQueen. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter. We are at The Breaks KUTX, and you can find more episodes at KUTX.org/The Breaks.
Our theme music was written and performed by Austin's own DZ Brown.
Production support provided by Art Levy.